This is the Gospel for Life, where we have four Treasure Valley pastors committed to showing that the gospel is not just for that religious part of your life, but for all of life. You never graduate from the gospel. Around the table today is Russell Herman, pastor at Cloverdale United Reformed Church, Jonathan Van Hoogen from Dayspring United Reformed Church, Vinny Hankey from Valley Life Community Church, and Ryan Hemphill from Treasure Valley Reformed Presbyterian Church. To catch earlier broadcasts, just search The Gospel for Life wherever you subscribe. To find out more about this ministry and about our annual conference, go to reformationboise.com.
Welcome back to the Gospel for Life. We are continuing to seek to apply principles from the book of Proverbs to how we live gospel-centered lives. And we've been working our way through different topics, the use of our words and how we view our work. Yesterday we talked, and then we talked about wealth, and then yesterday we talked about friendship. Today we want to think about the idea of specifically applying friendship to people of the opposite gender in marriages, in our spouses. And oftentimes people come to Proverbs 31 and I think depending on your gender, you either think it's the greatest chapter in the Bible or the worst chapter in the Bible. And sometimes Proverbs 31 has been used as an unreasonable standard that women are being held up to. Why is it unhealthy to view Proverbs 31 as the standard by which we judge all women?
Well, I think it opens up right with the key to interpreting the whole thing, which is an excellent wife who can find. And one of the things when I'm using Proverbs 31 in premarital counseling with young women is I just encourage them, like, excellent wives are not found. They're forged. That is, they're developed over the course of long periods of time. And Proverbs 31 was never written to be a checklist of all those attributes. It's actually a beautiful kaleidoscope of all the different pieces and things that a wife can be, but not as a list of what she should be or has to be.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is Proverbs 31, 10 says, an excellent wife who can find, but Proverbs 18, 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So, I mean, being married, having that particular wife, that's where it starts there. You found a wife, as you said, forging the relationship in the proper manner is important.
At our last conference, Miles Van Pelt and was one of our speakers, and I thought one of his talks on he mentioned the order of the biblical books and the order that they were in the Hebrew isn't the exact order that we have in our English translations. And he pointed out how the Hebrew Bible has Ruth immediately following Proverbs, and how the order of the books was didactic in nature a little bit. So yeah, Proverbs ending with this, who can find this excellent wife, listing out these characteristics, and then immediately follows, here's an example of an excellent wife in Ruth. And so, you know, Ruth wasn't perfect, you know, but she, what did she do at her heart? She came to the Lord. She was a believer, and she faithfully served God and sought his will in her life. And I think that's at the very foundation. That's as you're looking for a wife, as I, or a spouse, as I counsel my sons, even when they're young, as I counsel my daughters, even as they're young, you know, the chief thing that they need to look for is for my sons, a wife who loves the Lord, and for my daughters, a man who loves the Lord.
Yeah. So.
It's
I told
about
my sons,
being a
run to the cross. Run to the cross, and if you see someone running in the same direction, pay
and
attention.
Kind of the same speed,
yeah,
you know.
Pay attention.
It's about being a person of noble character,
right?
It's not about their being industrious, being, you know, able to run a business or be a seamstress or all of these other characteristics. Those are just the overflow of what it means. As Vinny was saying, these are possibilities of what a person of noble character who loves the Lord, what it looks like in time and space.
And it's all centered in the grace of God at work in the person's life. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about, if we take that Hebrew order and the lesson that Ruth is of, here's a Proverbs 31 woman, it's not an Israelite woman. It's a Moabite. And the grace of God in her life and bringing her into the fold.
When you're looking for, so this is going to be limited in scope to who it applies to, but for those that are looking for a spouse, what you're really saying to yourself is, first and foremost, is this a person that loves Jesus Christ? But I would quickly add to that, that is not the sole criteria by which you decide who you're going to marry.
That's minimal competence.
That's the first one. Minimum. That's the first, yes, first threshold. Step.
Yeah.
But then there's others.
But then you're adding things. Mm-hmm. Do you see life the same way? Mm-hmm. And specifically, do you see church life the same way? I, over and over again, watch young people pick people that they are not on the same theological page as. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is, you're breaking my heart because I know you're going to have a broken heart. Unless God intervenes and changes the theological direction of your spouse, you're going to constantly be disagreeing on the most important thing that you'll mm-hmm. do as a family, which is go to church.
Mm-hmm. But that's where leadership and submission come in to play, because a person can, those people can grow together. And I think there's a, that's the important thing, is that there is a submission to one another. There is a leadership that takes over in that home. There's a lot that Scripture talks about in terms of wisdom, and in some of it's in Proverbs here. So, and there are other places where things become proverbial, because of what's been written. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 talking about the relationship. Managing our own household well talks about those kind of relationships as well.
So Savaggio gives three principles that we should use as we seek a spouse. The first is seek Christ, then seek character, and then seek counsel. So let's mm-hmm. work through those three.
Proverbs 19:14, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. This is just individually, even in our seeking to become married or to find a spouse, we need to make sure that we are ourselves pursuing Christ and then identifying a potential spouse who themselves is pursuing Christ. There's this illustration, if you want, if you got a pyramid and you put yourself on one bottom corner and your potential spouse on the other bottom corner, as you both are pursuing Christ, who's at the top corner of the pyramid or triangle, you'll both grow closer together as you seek God together.
And you mentioned this concerning wealth, but finding a spouse itself can become an idol. And so are you pursuing a spouse to glorify God in your life? Or are you pursuing a spouse just because it's what you want and what you desire?
The second is seek character. What is he saying there?
Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. After seeking Christ, the next step is to begin to act on your prayers and faith that God will meet you. Proverbs is very helpful in this regard because it tells us what to put at the very top of that wish list, and not personal charm and physical attractiveness, but a noble character.
There's nothing wrong with being attracted to your spouse. Yeah.
Yes, we should all be attracted to our spouse.
But the first, the biggest attraction should be the beauty that's within.
Right.
So external beauty, nothing wrong with that. Absolutely healthy. But that pales mm-hmm. in comparison to the inner beauty that you should be looking for.
Because let's face it, I mean, hopefully our wives find us attractive, like when we're young mm-hmm. and we find them attractive. I'm not saying that we all, well, as we get older, things mm-hmm. don't become as attractive as they once were.
Beauty
it's a different beauty.
Mm-hmm. As a general rule, I've told my wife.
Character.
The
character is what's really beautiful.
Yeah. I'm really going to apologize. It's a stupid joke. But as a general rule, I've told my wife that she's aging like wine and I'm tending to age like milk.
There's that. Yeah. She married a guy with hair.
Yes. She absolutely did. It was fabulous. So Vigil says, as a general rule, if we want to understand what noble character is, the book of Proverbs is an excellent excellent resource for that too, yeah. because there's so many warnings and descriptions of what foolishness is. And so again, by introducing the negative, we can understand what the positive and pursuing someone who exemplifies the characteristics opposite to that of the fool.
There are the sad reality is, and as pastors, we've met those individuals. You know, I sitting with one man that had led a troubled life within his relationship to his wife, and he says, "When I got married, I married a beautiful woman. That was the only thing. He didn't have anything other than the fact. And he, and yes, his wife was a beautiful woman, but." She didn't share his love for the Lord, or didn't share a love for him, and so he was miserable. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the last one is seek counsel.
Proverbs 15:22: Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. You don't have to make the decision about your spouse all on your own. You can seek the counsel of godly parents, pastors, mature Christians. One of the great things that we were counseled to do before we got married was to go sit with an older couple in our congregation who'd been married for 40 years and just talk to them and ask their opinion of our relationship and hear about their burdens. It was incredibly good counsel for Sherry and I.
I think one thing to keep in mind in counseling people too is that, you know, when God says that the heart is deceitful, I mean, it's when we're dealing with matters of the heart as far as love is concerned, it's easy to fall in love, and I'm using air quotes, with those that are physically stunning and beautiful. It stirs something in, you know, in our hearts. And as, you know, the man, you know, Jonathan, that you talked about, and it's easy then to look past all the negative things. And what God is calling us to do is to not trust our hearts. Because our hearts are deceitful, and to instead look to the character to not be unequally yoked as he's called us to be, which is more than just simply, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But as Russ said, different theological things, and to be willing to, if called to, set aside a relationship if that equalness is not there.
Sometimes young people enter into a relationship and emotions, physicality of the relationship come into play, and they are no longer honestly making wise decisions. And what I've found over time is that they're also not seeking counsel. And they really aren't thinking well. And it's naive and arrogant to think that at 20 you figured out the world. And it's naive and kind of silly to think that you understand the life in front of you better than anybody else does. And I worked with high school kids for so long, and what I found was that every high school kid always thought that they were the exception, and that they lived as if they were the exception to the godly counsel that should be in their life. And the fact of the matter is, I'm old, and I know that you're not going to be the exception. You're going to be the sad reality of somebody that ends up shipwrecked because you didn't listen to godly counsel. And it's not old people trying to crush your hopes and dreams. It's old people saying God gives wisdom that comes through experience.
This matter of seeking counsel is an important matter. And I think you seek it, if you're a young person, you seek it in your own families. One of the things, and it, regardless whether you're parents are Christians or not, they know you better than anyone else, and they know what fits in your life better than anyone else, and they can actually see that this person is beneficial in your life or not, whether they're going to drag you down or whether they're going to compliment you. Because in the end, you know, a wife is given, a spouse is given as a compliment to us.
Well, you have been listening to The Gospel for Life. We will see you again tomorrow.